Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given to us in your written word. We thank you that it calls us to be faithful. It calls us to look to your Son, the Lord Jesus, for strength, so that when the times do get tough, we may look to him and find the strength that we need to endure and to be faithful. We pray tonight, Lord, as we hear from your word, that will encourage us to do that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How would you define toughness? What's your definition of toughness? Some of you, being old enough, might remember the King G's commercial. You know, what was their slogan? If it was any tougher, they rust. You might think of toughness as being someone who's capable of great endurance, someone who's not easily influenced, so they're unbendable, maybe not easily broken. Louis Zamperini was born in 1917. Italian parents, grew up in America, became an athlete. He competed in the 1936 Berlin Olympic Games, met Adolf Hitler, because he ran one of the fastest laps. In 1941, he enlisted into the army. He flew planes, or he was a navigator in one of the planes, and one of these planes were actually shot down over the Pacific Ocean. He was in a raft for about 47 days. And during those days, he prayed. He said he mostly tried to remember what prayers he had heard in the movies and tried to echo those prayers. But he did say this prayer, that if God would save them, he would serve heaven for the rest of his life. Well, they were saved on the 47th day, but by the Japanese. He was a prisoner of war from 1943 to 1945. And he experienced some of the most brutal treatment anyone's ever experienced under the Japanese. One example was one of the guards, because they knew he was an Olympic person, wanted to break him. And there was a time where the guards ordered the prisoners to line up and to punch Lewis in the face, which they did under threat of death, for over 2 hours. It's recorded that he was punched 220 times. If you want to find out more about Louis Zamperini, you can always watch the movie Unbroken. But there's lots of more information on the internet. There's a man who was tough. There was a man who could not be broken. Being a Christian is a call to be unbroken by the world that would want us to give up in following the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a Christian means being considered by the world as being mad, crazy, because we live in a world that seeks its own pleasure, a world that is into self-fulfillment, and a world that avoids pain and suffering at any cost. If we follow Christ, then we may suffer. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy in this letter, is in a prison in Rome awaiting the death sentence. He's been deserted by many around him because they're scared to be associated with this person. However, one man, Onesiphorus, went looking for him while he was in Rome because he was not afraid to be identified with the gospel, with what seemed like a losing cause. So Paul wants Timothy to identify himself with him, but also with the gospel, because Timothy is facing pressures of opposition at the church in Ephesus. Paul gives him a job, and the job is that he must ensure that the gospel is going to be passed on to the second generation. And we see that in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen the movie Pay It Forward. It's a great movie. It's about a young boy, a student, comes up with an idea on how he hopes will change the world. The idea is that he will do a favour for three people. And these people must not pay him back for those favours. They must find, in turn, three other people. and do favours for them. And those three other people must find another three other people and do favours for them. The idea is to help people to start thinking not about themselves, but about others, to act for others. Now, Paul wants Timothy not so much to pay it forward, but to pass it forward. And what is the it? It's the gospel. The gospel by which Jesus Christ paid for you and for me with his own life so that we could have life. There is no way we could ever repay that in any form, but we can share the benefits with others. We receive the benefits of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The benefits of Jesus are paid forward to us, but the message of the gospel is passed on to us so that we can pass it on to others, so that others can also experience the benefits that Jesus offers. This was Timothy's goal. This is the church's goal. And this is every Christian's goal, to pass on the gospel. So Paul needs to encourage Timothy in this situation that he's facing. And what does he say? Timothy, look within. You can find the strength within you? No. He says, then you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you need to endure. Timothy, you need to receive strength, but not from yourself, but from the one who is stronger than you, the one who has endured the cross for you, the one who scorned the shame and received the crown, and that is Jesus Christ. When the going gets tough, we don't look within ourselves. We look to Jesus, to the one who endured opposition from all sides. He's the one that has the grace that you and I need. In his own strength, in our own strength, we will not be able to do anything. But in the grace freely given to us because of the merits of Jesus, we will find the strength to endure and be faithful. In our times of trials, in our times of testing, Paul encourages us to look to Jesus. It is only in him that we find the strength not to give up and not to give in. And Timothy will need that grace to enable him to make sure that the message of the gospel is passed on through faithful people who will teach others. That's his mission in verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy is not to pass on hearsay. Timothy is not to pass on traditions. He's to pass on teachings that have been publicly proclaimed and publicly confessed. Today, no one can stand up in this group and say, I heard the Apostle Paul say this. If you do, you're mad. But we do have the writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of the Apostle Peter and John. We have the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel that Paul was willing to go into prison for, here written for us. But we still need to find people that are reliable and people that are qualified to teach. Reliable here in 2 Timothy is the idea is of people who are not ashamed of the gospel. That's reliability. They're not cowards. They're not going to run away from sharing in the suffering that the gospel may call upon them to do. That's reliable. They're dependable. They are loyal to Christ and they are loyal to his gospel. The second qualification is that they are competent or able to teach others. The important point here is that this quality is a skill or characteristic that they already have and one which they are already displaying, maybe in different areas. When I worked for the AMP Society, I was a section manager and I had staff under me. And I was tired of having staff under me. I was tired of being a manager. I wanted to get out. And an opportunity came up. A new department was being created. The training department, a new position, a training officer. So I applied. I wanted to get out of the section head idea. Now I think no one else applied. because I got the job. When something's newly created, people can be desperate, because I can tell you, I was untested and untried. And I was a bit mad, because as some of you know, I stuttered terribly in my youth. So for me to imagine that I would be an upfront person was absolutely crazy. But I got the job. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy, don't find someone who's untried. Don't find someone who's untested. Don't be desperate. Don't give people the opportunity, but identify those people who are already teaching, people who are already committed to the gospel. They're the people you need to look at. I'm convinced that the training of people for ministry is important and essential to ensure that God's word is proclaimed and taught well within our church and denomination. But I also believe that it's up to us as the congregation and the session together to identify and recommend suitable people to go into full-time paid teaching ministry of our church. But they must be tried and they must be tested. Which means that as a church, we should give opportunities to other people within our congregation. Train them, first and foremost, please. Equip them in some ways to either do Sunday school or youth group or have opportunities to lead so that they can grow in their faith. So we can see them exercising these gifts. We can see maturity as people share the gospel. And we had a wonderful example as people shared tonight, as two of our young people were sharing the gospel with another young person. There are signs there of maturity. Because Paul wants reliable and qualified people to ensure that the gospel is passed on and applied. Because he's actually inviting Timothy to join him. In verse 3, it says, join me in suffering. In chapter 4, verse 9, there's an expectation that Timothy is coming to Paul in Rome. Do your best to come to me quickly. So Timothy is leaving. He needs to ensure that there will be people there to pass on the gospel. Paul knows that the task is challenging, but he also wants Timothy to realize that these challenges and these tasks are part of the Christian life. They've got to be realistic. And that the Christian ministry itself can also be challenging and difficult. It's about endurance, perseverance, dedication, and commitment. And Paul gives at least three examples of endurance in verses 3 to 6 of this section, reminding Timothy that to identify with Christ may mean that you will suffer like Christ and suffer for Christ. We suffer for being loyal to Christ and his gospel, but we need to do it in such a way that honours and glorifies Christ. For Paul, the Christian life is challenging. And therefore, to emphasise this, he reuses three metaphors. Firstly, he says the Christian life is like military service, like a soldier, in verses 3 to 4. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Recently, Anna and Elisa particularly got involved in a BBC show that was appearing on the ABC called Our Girl, and I sat in on it occasionally. It was about a girl called Molly Dawes. She was a poor young woman. She was underclass. She was part of a culture that just didn't work, was on benefits. But she decided, because her life was going nowhere, that she would join the British Army. And in doing so, she went through the training, she went through the discipline, and she became an Army medical officer. And that changed her whole life, changed her whole perspective about her attitude towards authority and commitment and dedication and just moved her away from her family situation, which was a mess in many ways, to being a woman who knew what it meant and had a focus in her life. Well, Paul reminds us that the Christian life in this metaphor is not a walk in the park, nor is it having high tea at the Canberra Hyatt, but it's military service. We are under authority. We are under orders, and our aim is to please the one who has called us to a holy life, a life dedicated to him, and that, of course, is the Lord Jesus. Did you ever think or contemplate that the Christian life is like military service, a life of obedience, a life of discipline, a life of commitment, a life lived under authority, where our commanding officer says, go, and we go. When we go into situations where we don't have a bed, we may rough it, we may not have enough food, we may face the enemy, we may be injured, we may even die. In Griffith, I met an elderly man called Arthur. He had gone through the war, World War II, and he moved in to the retirement village across from the church building. And he went to see his doctor because he had a few health issues. And this doctor prescribed something that I have never heard any doctor prescribe before. She prescribed church to Arthur. And so he decided to take out the prescription and he came over. Because it was just walking distance. And one day I was visiting Arthur and we were talking about our faith and what it meant. And he shared this with me. He said he was speaking to his son. And he said to his son, "Son, I am now under a different commanding officer." And I thought, he was in his 80s. Actually, Anna reminded me he could have been even in his 90s. And he articulated so well what it meant to be a Christian. He was under a new commanding officer. He knew who his master was, knew who his commanding officer was, and he was going to obey orders. The Christian life, Paul tells us, is hard. It calls for commitment, perseverance and endurance, just like a soldier in military service. And our aim is to please the one who has saved us. That's, in one sense, our reward. But the Christian life is also compared to being an athlete who competes by the rules to win the victor's crown in verse 5. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Now, I have ventured on and, you know, I've seen the routine of athletes. And I admire them from a distance. I have no desire to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to the grueling routine, be it a swimmer or a runner or a cyclist. I have no desire to watch my diet in such a way. But they do because they have a goal. They want to win gold. The athlete is dedicated to gaining his or her goal. The athlete is committed to the hard routine of training. And they will embrace pain. An athlete is disciplined and committed. And they will follow the rules. Paul says an athlete competes in accordance with the rules. And today we would say one of the rules is they don't take drugs. Drugs that enhance their ability. The rules here could be that Paul is saying that as a Christian, as we compete, as we run for Jesus, we're not going to run away from being identified with Jesus where it leads us to suffering. Paul has been talking about people who are deserting him, who are ashamed of the gospel. Well, that is the rule. People who will not run away from being ashamed of the gospel. The Christian life is a call to dedication and commitment. The Christian life calls us to identify with Christ in his suffering. The Christian life is a disciplined life. The Christian life is a hard life. It can get tough at times. But are we disciplined? How much effort do you put into your Christian life? Many of us, some of us, spend hours on computer games, wanting to make sure we win. Some of us just can't get off our smartphones. We are so connected to them. Got to check our emails, got to check Facebook. Some of us just seek entertainment. Some go ballistic over their hobbies. Some over sports, playing sports, watching sports. Some of us are obsessed with our careers. We will give ourselves over to anything to achieve our goals. We will sacrifice almost anything to achieve our goal. But when it comes to the Christian life, some of us think it doesn't need any effort. Paul says it is hard work. It calls for commitment. Just like a soldier in military service or an athlete training for a prize. The Christian life is not easy, Paul says. It is hard work, and therefore we turn to the third metaphor, the hard-working farmer in verse 6. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now, I've had the privilege of ministering in the country, so I do understand a little bit about farming. Again, I admire the farmers because they work from dawn to dusk. I'm amazed when harvest, they don't seem to sleep. They just keep going on in the wee hours in the morning. And some of them drag their wives along and their children along. They've got to work hard, but never to the same extent as he does. He works hard. And Paul says that the farmer, therefore, will directly benefit from the crop. So the Christian life is hard yakka. But the rewards that come from committing ourselves to that is worth it. We will please our Lord. We will receive a crown of life. And we will share in the harvest of the gospel. And in some ways, we're also part of that harvest. So we share in it and we're also part of it. That should encourage us and motivate us that when the Christian life gets tough, and it will get tough, that we look to those goals to encourage us. The world may not think that the Christian life is tough. They just might think Christians are mad. But God's word reminds us that it is tough. And yes, it is mad because we are asked, we are called to dedicate and commit ourselves to Jesus first and foremost. And in committing ourselves to Jesus, we may be called to do amazing things. Louis Zamperini, in 1949, after the war, became a Christian. His wife brought him along to a Billy Graham crusade because he was having nightmares. He was dreaming about strangling the Japanese guards that had tortured him. And to help him with those nightmares, he self-medicated alcohol. Well, he went to the Billy Graham crusade, and at that crusade he remembered the prayer that he had prayed, that he would serve heaven for the rest of his life if God would save him. And he became a Christian. And he went back to Japan, and he personally met the people who had been his tormentors, and he forgave them. He'd forgiven them back there at the Crusades and all his nightmares went away. But he went to Japan. And out of that act, even some of those guards became Christians. Don't ever think that the Christian life is a stroll in the park in the afternoon sun. It is a battlefield, both within as we deal with the sins of pride and arrogance, unforgiveness, and in the world as it wants us to drag us away from Jesus. The Christian life is a call to endure hard things and to do hard things, but it's a call to do it all in and through the Lord Jesus. Through Christ alone we don't give up, and through Christ alone we don't give in. The Christian life is tough. It's about endurance, dedication, and commitment in the face of opposition, both within and without, as we follow the one who is our example of toughness. And I confess at times that when it has gone tough, that I felt like giving up. not only as a Christian, but even in ministry. But the word to Timothy is the word to me and the word to you when it gets tough. Be strong in the grace that is yours, that Christ has earned for you. It can only be found in Christ and Him alone. Well, Paul wants us to chew over those metaphors so that we understand that the Christian life is tough and hard. That the victory celebration is going to come later, but the hard work comes now. That's why he says, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. And that reminds us that God's word is not like a takeaway meal. It's not something we just put down our mouth and swallow. Paul wants us to chew over what he said over and over again so that we can come to a realistic understanding of the Christian life. It's hard work. It's tough. We need to put the effort in it. But also that this toughness in the Christian life is not what we should be focusing on, but rather on the goal, the reward that is given to us in and through Christ Jesus. As we depend upon the grace that is ours through Jesus Christ, and through that grace, we will endure in serving and suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that the Christian life is not one that we sit back. It's one that we are actively involved in, where we continue to look to Jesus for that strength that we need when it does get tough being a Christian. It can get tough in wanting to serve others. We can be tempted to walk away. And in a world that is in opposition to us, we can even be tempted to be ashamed. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus for the strength that we need. Help us to be realistic that you have called us to a life of endurance, perseverance, dedication, and commitment. A life under your authority. A life that wants to please you. And we ask that we will be able to do this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Any thoughts, comments? All right, let's sing.